Time's up, I done touched down. I'm high stepping for the touchdown. I stay repping for the slums where the young bucks huddle loaded up.
Just hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the AFC South Fan Battle Podcast. My name is Samantha Wernette. Hosting for us this evening, we have Chris Jackson.
You know what? At this point, how's everybody doing today? Sam, all right. For the rest of the crew, thank you for that proper introduction. And so with us tonight, the esteemed gentleman and lady from the AFC South coming with us, we have, representing the Texans, we have Matthew Briggs.
Let's go, baby. First place. Woo woo.
Jesus Christ. All right.
Everybody's in first place, right?
No
joining comments. Joining us all the way from parts unknown, Utah, we have the John Ha. Oh no.
Oh, sorry, I was doing a Taylor Lewan impression.
That also is ironic because it sounds a lot like a Jaguars offensive line impression. Go ahead.
Oh, here we go.
Always want to be a Jags fan, don't you?
here to give us the hope for the future, and everything else that wasn't Trevor Lawrence today, we have Justin Gonzalez.
Hey, like the Jaguars receiver, we are really dropping the ball when it comes to the intro of this podcast. So welcome, everybody. I'm glad you're here.
All right.
Hold on. Time out. There is nothing better than a week one upset via podcast and game.
That was actually really good.
Justin, come on.
And then last but not least, we have coming live from Indianapolis, where he got to see the whooping live in the stadium. We have with us Harish Nukala, representing the Indianapolis Colts.
Hashtag we all suck. Hashtag we all suck. We good?
All right. So with that being said, today was, for lack of a better word, a very disappointing day in the AFC South, except for one team in particular whose team is being held together with chewing gum.
He's got that shitty grin on his face.
Hey, like that Jaguars offensive line.
And that's what the Houston that's for the Houston Texans. So for insight on the Houston Texans, we have Matthew Briggs letting us know exactly what happened in this said massacre, apparently, from what I've been told otherwise. But I mean, you know, I know Justin, you don't want to hear stuff like that, but that's what I saw.
Wait. I'm interested. Yes.
Okay, so Matt, give us your analysis on what happened or what didn't happen, at least from your perspective.
I'm not gonna say it was all the Texans doing because it wasn't, but the Texans, they played well. Tyrod Taylor did what Tyrod Taylor does and not turn the ball over. Mark Ingram looked like Mark Ingram in the past, ran the ball down their throats.
He didn't turn the ball over because he didn't get injured this game. But keep going.
You did what you gotta do, right? I mean, we got a legit doctor, so no puncturing lungs, so we're good. Like, don't be salty because we win. I told y'all it was gonna happen. You just didn't
want to. 100% be salty because you won. But listen, I'm not even on this podcast.
This is not your turn, Sam.
Why are you even here, Sam? Shut up.
But like I said,
this is a family podcast, guys.
Like I've been saying before, Lovie Smith's defense causes a turnover.
I'm just happy I got to see John Ha's team, God, the Packers, play today.
Oh, my God.
All right, Matt, go ahead and continue. Go ahead.
For sure? Can I finish?
Yes, you can. Go ahead.
I hope so.
I'm just kidding. but, Lovie Smith's defense turned the ball over. I've been trying to tell you all the Jaguars are not a better team than the Texans. The Texans just have more drama. That the offensive line is way worse than the Texans, and the defense is way worse than the Texans. But
you just got lucky. Jaguar,
we didn't get lucky. How was a 38-21 lucky? Y'all had a last touchdown that was trash points. So
Mark Ingram carried you the way that Derrick Henry carries Titans, but carry on.
Is the ship all done now? Can we move on?
He carried us with 16 carries and 68 yards. That's carrying us. With Tyrod Taylor threw 298 yards.
And Brown. And like, you guys literally were the Titans tonight. Let me stop. I'm done.
Oh, all right.
All right. So then in that case, we're
watch a different game, right, dude?
Well, you know what? We're going to shift it over to a different perspective of the same game. Justin.
Is there a cooler head on board with this one?
I don't know. So Justin, yes. tell us, because like I said, you heard about the Trevor Lawrence hype. We know that the Texans right now as a team, they won, but it's kind of patchwork. No offense, Matt, but you know, it is what it is. But
Chris is right.
What exactly
we're better than four teams. We're better than the Jaguars. We prove it. Better than the Lions, Jets.
I mean, you're better than anyone in the AFC South right now.
Exactly.
You're better than
number one pick. Holy
so
shit.
Then, Justin, what went wrong for the Jags in this game?
I think when you look at the game, there's absolutely no one to blame. I think, you know, you can call out players, the offensive line, the quarterback, the wide receivers, the whole defense. But when it comes down to it, it's 100% this game's on Urban. Okay. And I say that because the penalties that we had on the field were disorganizations. We had 12 men on the field leaving the huddle. We had, you know, endless penalties that were just not necessary that extended the drives or thwarted our drives. That's it's just uncalled for. You know, who would ever thought an undisciplined college coach is going to have a disciplined NFL team? Am I right? So I think at the end of the day, they need to get their shit together. They need to figure out what kind of scheme we're running, because again, we're at week one and our Pro Bowl running back or our Rookie of the Year running back, whatever you won last year, got zero carries until after the first half. He got a carry.
Wait, what?
The first time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it James Robinson?
Yep.
Yep.
Carlos Hyde had all the carries. So Urban, what you need to do, Urban, tune in real quick. You going out and signing all your boys from Ohio State and Florida, that's all cute in the preseason. But when it comes down to game time and we want to fucking win, don't do that shit. All right? You got to give the ball to James Robinson. Okay?
Urban fired at the end of the year? What? Hello?
I don't think Urban gets fired, no. But what I do believe is that he's going to realize that the Jaguar fan base and especially Jaguars Twitter is going to turn on him really, really quick. And they got to figure it the hell out. So my quick synopsis is I think Trevor did fine. I think the interceptions were him pressing due to the offensive line penalties and the 10 drops we had going into the third quarter, that every time that we tried, we had someone open and he hit him in the chest. DJ Chark looked terrible. Marvin Jones didn't get the ball enough. But I think at the end of the day, we didn't run the ball enough. Trevor forced the passes that led to interceptions, which, hey, okay, that's fine. I can live with that. I think he looked fine. He converted multiple third downs, especially a third and 17.
Justin, can I ask a question? I've been pointing at myself for a minute and a half.
Yeah. Just let me wrap this one part up and then I'll answer your question. I think the defense looked like ass. The linebackers didn't know what the hell the coverage were. The Texans ran all over us, and that's how they were successful the game, is that they ran all over us. And Tyrod did what he needed to do. Like Matt said, he didn't turn the ball over.
So now I have two questions then.
Okay, hit me.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Why is Wingert here? Mm-hmm. Is it a Urban Meyer problem? Is it offensive line? Or not, sorry. Okay. Is it offensive play calling? Problem.
Okay. So to answer your first question, why Wingert's playing, I don't know. Andre Sisco is the best safety we have on the field. And just because he's a rookie doesn't mean we shouldn't start him. Okay. He's better at coverage. He's better at stopping the run. So I don't know why he's not starting. And if you look back to my draft board that I posted right before the draft, he was one of the guys that I had in my mock draft that I want. But I digress. The other question is it the offensive line? Offensive line's fine. The penalties
not line. I didn't say I said line because
Okay.
Like I'm in my own head because I hate them and I know you don't, and that's fine. But is it the offensive play calling is what I meant to say.
Yeah, but I hate the screens. I think there was too many screens and there wasn't enough us running the ball with our star running back, not Carlos Hyde, who's pushing 30. And yeah, I digress from that. But what I am saying is, yes, I think part of it is the play calling at this point. Not enough giving the ball, not enough carries for James Robinson, and too many screens, in my opinion.
Yeah, but
well, go back to the drops. I mean, it has a lot to do on the receivers, but the receivers have never seen an arm like Lawrence. I mean, let's be honest, Gardner Minshew wasn't throwing the ball that hard.
I do agree with that, but my point is DJ Chark didn't play at all preseason after he had his hand surgery, and then half the time that they were practicing, Gardner Minshew was taking half the snaps. So again, Urban making dumbass decisions is costing us wins at this point. So,
hey buddy,
do your job. That's all I'm asking. Just do
your job. College coach with a college quarterback.
Quick question.
Yes,
Harish. Are you saying the Jags are jagging?
Yeah, they're jagging off at this point. Yes.
Awesome. All right.
This was a stereotypical jagging off game. Yeah. I mean, this is a stereotypical when people look at us in the media and stuff like that, like they point back to like games. Like, cool. So this is pinpoint jagging off.
Cool. Yeah. So the Texans had nothing to do with the win. It was all the Jags.
I didn't say that. I said the run game is what gave them the win. Okay, that's what I said.
So I don't want to take anything away, because let's just be honest. Coming into the season, we just expected the Texans to just absolutely not play well in any facet. But I think that
that's what I've been trying to say this whole time is the Texans had the most drama, but they don't have the worst roster in the NFL. They don't have
a what about the AFC South?
No, the Jaguars. I'll take anybody on the off of the Texans offensive
line. All right, water bet
over the Jaguars.
Let's do a bet.
I'll take Cooks. I take Cooks over Shark.
I don't care about any of that. So I say when we're ready to play you guys again, we're gonna smoke you.
Bet. Okay, beard for beard.
Oh wow,
beard for beard.
I'm not shaving my beard.
Now you crossed the line, Matt. You crossed the line.
Oh wow!
What is happening right now?
We'll figure out a bet. If it's 6-pack of beer, or if it's donate to, or whatever.
I think it's around this.
Let's do this. All right, here we go. Here's what we do real quick.
And then I'm done. Drunk because he's twerking over there. So
stop it. So this is what we do, Matt. All right. The bet is whoever wins has to do a donation, either let it be to our merchandise that we have. Okay. Whoever loses has to buy a shirt that we raffle off to someone for the next podcast after that game.
Hey, that's fine. I just want to let you know. I have not lost a bet to a Jags fan this whole...
You haven't had a bet with me, buddy.
You know what the worst part about that is? Anytime somebody like a sports announcer says they've won 8 times in a row on this one, that's generally the time that they lose.
No, it's not.
I've been saying it the whole time.
No, it's not. Because they say it every time. They haven't lost in five times, and then they win the 6th time. Then they say, "Oh, they haven't won in 7 times," and they win the 7th time. You only make note of it when it actually doesn't go the way they call it.
I haven't been shitty enough to be shitty.
I beat Todd Clare today. He has a good calling profile picture.
All right. So now, moving. Well, okay, Sam, what do you need? Because you look like you are.
Sam, what are you doing?
So I've been dealing with this whole betting thing from Matt for a long time. And I just want to say that when the only time you're betting is against the Jags, it doesn't really make up for much. Like, congratulations, I guess. That
not much of a prize is what you're saying.
Right.
But hey, our viewers, I just find it funny
that you like to brag about that. But
Well, in 2019, y'all were going to the Super Bowl, and
you're also an Astros fan. So,
hey, by the way, I just want to say we have a couple comments coming in. He said, "I miss y'all, man. It's good to see everybody. It's good to be back." We have Andre Robinson. I guess he's a Jags fan. Said coaching was pathetic. Carlos Hyde as the running back number one is bad coaching. He said Sam is burning up. Donnie Stingley says, "What is wrong with you, Sam?" He asked if there was something that rhymes with
menopause. Yeah, he said, "Is it menopause?" No, Donnie Stingley, it's not menopause. You want to know why? I'm too young. I'm not old like you. You don't want to know what it is. It's the fact that I'm upset that my team sucks because of we're too young. Not menopause, but you wouldn't know that, would you, Donnie Stingley? Because you're too old. Anyways, Ryan Tannehill.
Okay.
Joya said, "Somebody get Sam some water, please." And then Tesmer said, "Ken Moore is mad because I said the Texans should celebrate." So moving on to the next fan base that we've actually, well, you know what? Harish, are you settled with the Seahawks fans near you? Wait, don't. Okay, he's muted now. He might be getting into a bar fight.
It's true.
Okay. Well, in that case, John Ha, please. let's talk about this because, you know, we had some lofty expectations for this offense. You know, we had Derrick Henry, AJ Brown is back to 100%, as he said. Julio, I know it's just like was a big acquisition. And we saw what happened in the game, but I'm going to let you explain to us exactly why this offense really just didn't get up off the ground.
Our offensive line turned into the Jaguars' offensive line. There was a real lack of protection. I mean, that's what happened.
Why is everybody picking on the Jags?
I don't know. I just thought it'd be funny. But in all seriousness, I mean, I just said it because it was funny. But in all seriousness, like Taylor Lewan needs to get Chandler Jones a Father's Day gift because that's his daddy now. Like that was like he has self admitted that he was embarrassed by it. You know, I'm not like, I know people will say I'm crap talking the team. I mean, they deserve it. That was really, really bad. Is it possible that there's just a lack of time that this offense spent together in the preseason because none of these guys were really practicing? And I was watching the pregame of this Sunday night.
Hold on.
Harish, you're muted. I can't hear you.
Harish.
Perfect. All right, there we go. Hang on. So I was saying, these guys, do teams need to start considering playing more in the preseason? Because
it's the best offense in the league, bro.
What I'm saying is that what I saw out there was like a real lack of chemistry, which is uncharacteristic of what we saw last year from especially this offensive line. This offensive line was working like carousel. The people were switching in and out different places and they were still able to get a 2000 yard rusher, but that wasn't what was happening. I'm hoping it's just rust. I'm hoping that, you know, they get their crap together. I really, really think the offensive line was the biggest problem. Defensively, there's still some problems like we saw last year with them. I'm not going to be super hard on them because that defense, our defense didn't get to get off the field very much because our offense kept going three and out. I mean, they don't even get to catch a breath when we keep getting like sack fumbles or just going three and out. It's just hard to stay that way.
Anyway, so defensively, I don't watch the game, obviously, but defensively, it sounds like you still suck.
Defensively, it was not great, but again, it's not, there were some problems like last year, but it wasn't like as horrific as last year. So it wasn't great, but what I'm saying is that we didn't get off the field because of the offense. Like our defense
got
to go to the sideline for 2 seconds and then they had to go right back out there. And it's really hard to focus when you can't get fresh like that.
37 points sounds pretty fucking horrific.
So I'm going to say, at least from what I saw, because I watched the game, I'd like to make sure that I'm watching all of the games. Does it seem like Ryan Tannehill, for everything that he was doing, with having Julio as an extra option now, did it seem like he just kind of, you know, because I think having somebody like him, having all the offensive weapons that you have, you kind of get lost in the fold. So I'm guessing you're expecting somebody to just be available. Do you think that be having that extra weapon out there possibly just went and maybe just like kind of screwed up the chemistry in terms of how they were doing? Because I mean, he was doing fine with AJ and Derrick Henry. And then this game, he didn't, he looked like Miami.
In this game, when he looked the best is when they were passing it. Like when they, when we got two touchdown drives and they were off of Ryan Tannehill, just getting quick passes out there and just really being aggressive with it. The problem was the pass protection. You know, when we completely stop running the ball because we're already in a deep hole, not to mention that this defensive front from the Cardinals was just smoking our offensive linemen. Derrick Henry's getting 1 yard a carry, if that, and you have to pass it. And you're getting maybe 2 seconds of pass protection. You're not going to be the best quarterback. I don't care who you are. Carson Wentz isn't going to do that. Like, as much as Harish thinks that Carson Wentz is the next Peyton Manning, I don't think he's going to be able to get that with this, with like that short of protection. The offensive line needs to clean itself up in order for people to really know what Tannehill's going to do with these weapons. The offensive line was the biggest problem. That's it. End of story. Offensive line, done.
All right. So now, completely random. Sam keeps on pointing at her glasses. What? Why do you keep pointing? Are those new glasses, Sam?
They are, but I have a question for John. Ah!
What? 22.
What question 22. Do you have?
That's the answer. 22.
My question is, who cares? Also, when is everybody going to realize that Ryan Tannehill is overrated?
Oh no.
Well, I'm trying to wonder, like, which spectrum we're talking about. What is he rated then? Tell me if he's, if you want me to ask if he's overrated, tell me what you rate him as.
Well, here's the thing. If we're talking about today, right? Because that's what Titans fans love, the present, right?
I do, yeah.
Carson Wentz was better than Ryan Tannehill today.
Carson Wentz had better pass protection than Ryan Tannehill.
No. Let's not make excuses. Carson Wentz was better than Ryan Tannehill today.
Right. Hey, what do you want me to say?
And that's not saying a lot. Sir.
Well, this is what I say about the quarterback position. When it comes to the quarterback position, they got to be able to elevate the play of all the players around them. If pass protection is broken down, they got to figure out a way for him to get beyond that, to jump over that hurdle. And that's what
I don't think any quarterback.
The best, hold on. Can do that. The best quarterback in the AFC it was Tyrod Taylor.
Let's just be clear that Cardinals defense was coming out.
They were playing out of
their minds. No.
That defense is stout now.
That defense.
We've gone up against
JJ Watt several times. Yeah. He had one of his best games against Tennessee. Like, and that was back when he was going up against Zach Mettenberger when we were just terrible. But he was like, he had better game.
Giving
Arizona credit, they were playing hard.
But their defense is always the same. Arizona's a multiple defense. They have multiple people playing multiple positions. That's a multiple defense. You guys knew this going into this for 8 months. And I didn't watch the game, so I need to go watch the tape.
Oh, okay, great. So I'm glad that you can voice your expertise on the issue. Yeah, then
I'm being a Titans fan. I'm watching the stats. I'm being a non-Titans fan. Titans fans always watch the stats. I'm watching the stats.
If you're just now tuning in, this is the AFC South Fan Battle Podcast, and it is extremely spicy tonight. Okay, this is the Week 1 coverage, so we will definitely.
This is the part of the show where Harish says that he knows what happens when he didn't even watch the game. I got it.
This is the part of the show where Harish calls ha on his ha ha ha's on his bullshit because the Titans are fucking trash shit, and Harish has told him for 8 months, and ha 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 is.
Okay.
Anyway,
so just I'm not sure what the hell just happened.
Can I just put a button on this?
Speaking of,
hey, go ahead, John.
Speaking of terrible,
just a quick little button on this thing. Again, offensive line bat. It was a chemistry thing. I think these guys just. It was a lot of like sloppy play that comes from like lack of like reps. Probably that's what it looked like to me. It just looked like a team that was just not giving it their all. So I don't want to panic. It's week one. I'm not going to panic. This is different than the, you know, the negative Holly Hill. It's going to get tougher each time. Yeah. They have to clean it up. But I think that this is sort of a self-inflicted wound that they just got to clean up these little mistakes, and we could
turn this around. Can we move along? Tennessee has excuses. Can we move along?
All right. So now it's
time for Harish to give his excuses.
All right. So now with that being said, moving on to more terrible O-line play. Harish Nukala, let us know what happened with the Colts today.
Bro, you want to know what happened to the Colts?
Yes. I would like to know.
Surprisingly enough, in some world, our O-line decided not to play today. Okay, week one, whatever. Carson Wentz was actually really good today. I think Carson played really well today. I don't think our defense was bad. I just think everything that happened today was situationally bad. And certain situations started long in the red zone. I just don't think anybody played well, right? So, I just think Seattle beat us straight up. I don't think there was anything special to what they did. I told Colts fans, Kari and Blackman were going to be really big because they cover over the top, and we got beat over the top twice. It was really bad. I was really disappointed by the way those two played because I thought they were going to be our second grace. Yeah. And if they were, we would have won that game. Like, I honestly think if Kari and Julian Blackman played well over the top, we would have been fine. But they beat us over the top. It was those two guys' fault on both occasions. Look, for the people saying Carson's bad, Carson played really well today. I don't think it was excellent. I think
is anybody who's really a non-Texans well. Fan or Colts fan? Wow. Does anybody who's a non-Colts fan have a rebuttal to that? Did anybody watch that game?
Why? Carson played really well. What rebuttal would you have? He played really well.
So while I am a Colts fan, I've been very, very critical of signing Carson Wentz for the obvious reasons that, you know, he's been inconsistent, you know, having the injury issues, having the issues that he's had previously. He played very sound today. Like, he didn't take a whole bunch of risks. I mean, if you look at the stat line, 25 for 38, 251 yards, two TDs. I think the sole turnover was a botched handoff on a 4th-and-1. I mean, that's what we're asking for. That's in no way, shape, or form anywhere close to the Carson you saw last year. So, I mean, you know, I'm able to go ahead and just say, he didn't play like what people would indicate that he would play as coming off of his bad year last year.
But
if that makes sense,
here's the thing: how many turnovers did Ryan Tannehill have, and they lost by 4 touchdowns?
Three.
Okay, cool. Carson had 1, and it was a. I think that botched fumble was a fluke. Like, I honestly think it's a fluke. If he doesn't botch the fumble, like if he doesn't botch the handoff, they get that first down, and maybe the score is different. But the thing is, I just think the
based on. I mean, I'm not trying to hate, but you sound like a typical Colts fan saying like arguing with the Titans and Tannehill on comparing this week.
No. It's not that. It's just saying the expectation versus what he produced. I think he overproduced. No, he didn't.
You keep telling me he's going to produce wins.
He did not overproduce the expectation.
You keep telling me he's going to produce wins. I didn't see it.
Wait, what? When did I say that?
All off season. You're saying
he's when did I wins. Say You said Ryan Tannehill was going to be elite. Where the fuck is he at?
That's all I was going to say is Tyrod Taylor was the best looking quarterback in the AFC South.
Wait,
today.
Best looking quarterback
I
today?
Disagree. Looking, I disagree. Looking, not best, I, but best looking.
I disagree. I think Carson was better.
He had the best day. Because, I mean, you know, if you're trying to tell us something, Sam, you're married. You got to relax.
Looking, sure. Best day, best looking, yes.
Wait, looking what? Looking
like, so that doesn't say anything. This is
weak. She thinks he's looking attractive.
Who? Looking, are you, like, looking what? Looking
he looks really good on down on the field.
Right. In uniform? In uniform?
So I'm
just saying, like, you guys are arguing, like, irrelevant shit at this point.
Going, so
about the way your quarterbacks look, but that's typical strictly, Titans and Colts.
But we're not.
So here's the thing. If we're going strictly statistical, you have a case for saying that Tyrod Taylor did have the best day out of anybody. I mean, you know, it's just looking, like he had a very sound day. Statistically, he had the best day statistically. Because, I mean, his stats, he threw for 21 of 33, 291 yards, 2 TDs, and no turnovers. He had the highest
rating for
the
40 more yards than Carson. Woo! That's basically what he did.
Oh wait, hold on.
Not to take the Texans side, but what?
I mean, the only thing that sticks out is he had 40 more yards. I think that was the only one. But then he did have a fumble too. So.
Oh, got him. Okay, cool. Anyway, so.
But we're not gonna psychoanalyze. But either way, yeah. At the end of the day, no matter what,
Carson was not the reason the Colts lost. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah, the stats were close, but the thing is, at the end of the day, the Texans they won. They you know they're the only team in the division that won. So you know you gotta basically just give them a nod because it's the what have you done for me lately thing.
All right, cool. All right, we'll see you on week 17. We've seen this. Like, what are we talking about? We've seen this already. We've already seen this.
What are we seeing? Explain it to me.
The worst team in the division beats a team they shouldn't. And then for the next 16 weeks, doesn't fucking win.
So, hold on. Can I ask you guys a question? We know now for weeks, we've heard the rumors about Watson to Miami. It's clear today that Houston doesn't need Watson.
No, Houston doesn't care. I don't think it's that they don't need. They don't care.
But they also don't need him. Not that the Jaguars are an elite team that like you need to beat. But like
Jaguars.
The Dolphins only won by one today. So do we see? Do we see that trade happen now?
Really?
I think at this point, with the Texans trading like Bradley Roby and that kind of stuff, that at this point they have their eyes set on the draft. Yes. I think Tyrod Taylor at this point is going to be serviceable for this year, kind of like Gardner Minshew was for us last year. Until
Watson
they can
was
go
also
get
serviceable, and you saw where that got him.
Well, I think at this point they're going after Spencer Rattler from Oklahoma. That's what they have their eyes set on. Tyrod's going to take them there. And in the meantime, they hope that somehow they can get rid of Deshaun's contract and get some draft picks in return. But do they need him? I think after week two, they will get a crude of awakening from the next team they play that they will not be able to do what they did today against them, in my opinion.
Okay, so do they, like, okay. The Texans and Deshaun Watson don't want each other. Can the Texans benefit from Deshaun Watson? Yes, but they can't get rid of Deshaun Watson. So they just have to deal with it. So they're just doing everything they can to just placehold it. Tyrod Taylor is just a placeholder until they get their next solution. Now they're just dealing with it. They're just doing it the best they can because they have no choice.
Are they? I think now they realize they don't really need him.
No, I
Washington might call him though.
If you get rid of all of the off-field issues, yeah, they need him because that guy is an elite quarterback, but that's not the situation they're in. They're in the situation where he doesn't want to be there and they're kind of sick of it and they also can't find anyone to buy him. So what do you? What are they going to do?
So the thing is, so if you're talking about people, they have buyers. The problem is that the buyers are just monitoring this to see where it's going. I don't think anybody mm-hmm. who's actually looking at the situation with Deshaun is looking at that and saying, "Oh, well, we might just need to hold off because you know somebody might go ahead and charge him soon." Everything that's come out has come out. He's even debunked one of the accusers, whatever. I'm not going to go into that. But at the same time, if you see these things, allegedly, if you see these things and you're looking and you see that you still have an issue at quarterback, Ryan Fitzpatrick, they said he has a serious hip injury. So that means that you're going to stake your season on Tyler Haneke. There's no reason in hell why Washington, being where they are right now, is not going and saying, you know what? We can go ahead and take a risk on this because it's either go with Deshaun or we go with Tyler Haneke. And honestly, I will take a Deshaun that's potentially in trouble over Tyler Haneke.
Is Ron Rivera the kind of guy who would do that, though? Boy, he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who would.
You would rather take a player that's not guaranteed to play over a player
that's the problem.
He's have you not seen the personnel that they had there? Like, come on now.
Deshaun Watson costs too much for when you Deshaun don't even Watson, know if you can play him. But that, you have no idea if you can play him. He costs way too much.
Honestly, well, hold on. Go ahead, Harish.
If Deshaun Watson had Tyler McLaurin, he would be a fucking beast.
I think the NFL hasn't said anything about not or having Deshaun Watson not play. If I read what I read today, exactly. If what I read today was correct. So if someone did trade for him, they could play him next week. Okay. Yes. But the NFL could come down next week and say, hey, no.
Yeah, right? Exactly. You don't know. And exactly. The price is too high. So why do it?
You're basically trading risk, right? So you're trading for risk.
So risk is not worth the juice. Isn't worth the squeeze.
I tell you right now, this is weird. This is weird. It's not high risk, high reward. It's like dumb fuck risk, super high reward, right? So it's like,
yeah.
What do you want? What do you want?
If the Washington football team did get Deshaun Watson and he could play all season, I think they're one of the NFC's favorites because the defense is real. They have a good running back, good wide receiver. O-line is okay. Ooh, boy. That would make it interesting.
If I was anybody, I would fucking wait till the end of the season and Matt Stafford that shit. I would wait until like midway through the offseason, nobody's paying attention, and then make a trade.
Right.
So
that's what I would do.
So I'm gonna, and then we have to wrap soon, but I'm just gonna leave with this one, this last parting note, Deshaun. Right now, he's not on any list. He was a healthy scratch for this game. So the thing is, they're sitting him. They don't have him on any list. They don't have him on exemption. They're literally just, he's QB3 on the roster right now. So there's nothing that is stopping them from actually trading them. At this point, is there a chance that we could see him getting traded? I think so. But you know what? It just all depends on the developments. But, you know, as of right now,
Sam said the Texans don't need him anymore. I would say that Tyrod Taylor is not better than Deshaun Watson in terms of the talent.
No. Time. I never said that.
That's what I heard you say. I heard you say
the Texans don't need him anymore, but they don't.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't. Like,
again, they don't need the off-field stuff. They don't need him not wanting to leave. But in terms of just him, they need that.
No, I know you like to talk a lot, and I know you like quarterbacks. Okay, but
then what are you saying?
What I'm saying is, are you done? Okay, so what I'm saying is, they proved today they don't need him. They have Brandon Cooks. They have Mark Ingram II. They looked great with Tyrod Taylor, who is a second string backup quarterback. They're showing Deshaun Watson, like, look, we can do it without you. They don't necessarily need him. Now, am I saying Tyrod Taylor is the future of their franchise? Absolutely not. But they are showing Deshaun Watson that they don't need Deshaun Watson. It's the same thing that the Jaguars, I would say did, but attempted to do with the whole Jalen Ramsey thing. And they both share the same agent. They both did the same holdout. And then here we are. Now, Tyrod Taylor is probably getting close. And I'm sure he's getting close to retirement. I'm sure that we're going to look at the Texans being in the same situation as the Jags. They probably didn't intend for today to happen, but that went to show you that, like, their offense can do what they need to do.
It's, like I said, it's week one. It's Overreaction Sunday. We still have, well, we officially have.
This is an appropriate. This is not an overreaction, Chris Jackson. This is an appropriate reaction.
That's right. Beating the Jaguars really sticks it to the Deshaun Watson.
Are you good? Oh yeah, we're good. We're good.
This is an appropriate reaction. Okay.
Yeah, but all right. So, if you've been here, then this went off the rails on a crazy train, but I love it. So yes, a few things before we actually do leave you guys for tonight. Justin,
yes, sir.
Can you go ahead and let everybody know about the website that they can visit, as well as some of the cool stuff they can also find on the website from us?
Yes, I will post in the comments our website, our Discord. We have an official website. We have some articles up there where you can find us. You can also find the podcast when they go live during the week. They will populate there. You can download from the website and also listen to them on the website. We have articles going up every week. We also have a Discord. It's in its infant stage. We're growing it as we speak, but it's another channel for you guys to
hop in and comment on it often.
Yeah, you can hop in there and chat as well. And then we also have a merchandise store. So if you're looking to get some AFC swag, we're working on adding some new material, maybe a season one merchandise run here. And I'll post all that in the comments once we cut it off here. Look forward to seeing you guys there.
Absolutely. And so with that being said, it's been a pleasure having you all. Can everybody let the people know where you can find us on Twitter or on Instagram, Snapchat, where you can be found on social media?
You can find me at Sammy Football with an I.
Best about you.
Or hashtag Team Hank.
Or outside the Jag Stadium doing body shots.
Hashtag Team Hank.
Wait, what?
Justin.
You can find me on Twitter. It's Bearded Guns with a Z instead of an S for guns. Yes, so
because you're a rebel.
Yeah, I just don't want people to think, like, you know, it's guns because of, like, the weapons. It's guns because of my name.
100% guns because of weapons.
Yeah, I don't want...
like Andrew Wingard, that's a weapon.
Yeah, I don't want the NRA or someone coming
if it is, it's a super soaker.
Yeah, 5,000.
John Ha, I know I'm going to get the same answer as always, but I'm always looking to entertain. What do we got?
You can find me on Twitter at Mike Vrabel. So tweet all your complaints right there.
That is not true. You can find him at Hellman's Ha. That's Hellmanshha. No, I'm just kidding. Little Ha's X.
Mm-hmm. Just call me by your name.
Harish.
No, the Uncle Gandhi, what's up?
Okay, well, that's sort of to the point. You can also find me at CJ Colts Fan. I don't know if I can say that on here, Sam, even though we're part of the family officially. But also, you can find me at You Don't Know Jack Podcast, which is the Colts Fan Battle page. Okay, once again, nothing would be possible without the AFC South Fan Battle family. So, yeah. And there's going to be some contests coming up soon, so we'll definitely let you guys know. Other than that, have a great evening. It's been a wonderful week one, and I can't wait to see what chaos week two brings.
Go Colts. Sir.
I'm going to be on the podcast next week, hammered out of my mind, so I can't wait.
Yeah, you're going to take my turn.
If this episode was any indication of how the rest of the season is going to be, it's going to be fantastic.
It's going to be lit.